In this last hymn that we just sang, the first phrase of it, I wanted to bring to your attention. My country, 'tis of thee. And I fear that, of all things, our nation has done everything it can to deny that reality. And the work is just feverish around us to remove God from our lives. And one of the things that Pastor Weber has been teaching us in the adult Sunday school class, and I'm just so grateful for that class, but the division between sacred and secular is a terrible, ungodly thing. But we have lived and grown up with that as a supposedly proper distinction in life. And it fights against all that is true and all that is right. And I think we need to make some concerted efforts at denying that division. And we think that it's equal to this doctrine we have of the separation of church and state. And it's just a misunderstanding that has been used to further remove the American people from their obligation to God, whether in their churches or in their homes or in their government. We have run upon some things that are really recent in history, and I want to begin there this morning talking with you about this, and I need to measure my time carefully here this morning. But I want to begin by making this observation. People choosing their own rulers or leaders is a real or a very recent phenomenon. Now, I'm going a place with that, but I want to begin by making that observation. It is only in the last 200 years that around the compass of our globe, such a thing has been known as a people that would choose their own rulers or their own leaders. I want to ask, has this recent event put God out of business and out of authority? Because we live in countries that have begun to recognize the value of republics and democracies, has that meant that now man is in charge of his own being and not God? I want you to think about that. I believe that we've begun to think that. That government is over here is something that is secular and operated and run by man and totally governed by his values and his rules and standards. And because of our thoughts about the separation of church and state, we think that it has to be that way. God has never permitted such a thing. And I'm going to bring some things to your attention about that this morning. I want to begin by going to the book of Romans chapter 13, just making some observations here. And here is the observation that is made in Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Why? For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. That is, unless we have selected them through popular vote. in which case they're appointed by man and are subject only to the rules of man. Isn't that how we think? In the end, folks, we sing the hymn, "This is my Father's world." And our forefathers said, "This nation is a God-given thing." And I'll be giving you some quotes about that this morning. Did God 200 years ago relinquish his position? Is man now free to govern at his own will and by his own values and ideas? Have we bought into the lie of secularism? Are our leaders free from responsibility to God? Can we not hold their feet to the fire of what is just and what is true? Will not their feet ultimately be held to that fire? Let me read you a quote from Abraham Lincoln. He said this during the process of the Civil War. It was in a letter he wrote, "If I had had my way, this war would never have commenced. If I had been allowed my way, this war would have ended before this. But we find it still continues. And we must believe that He, that is God, permits it for some wise purpose of His own, mysterious and unknown to us. And though with our limited understanding we may not be able to comprehend it, yet we cannot but believe that He who made the world still governs it." Come with me to the book of Daniel. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 4. Here was a ruler who was self-appointed by his family, Nebuchadnezzar. And in verse 32, Daniel says to him, "They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men." Now, was that just the kingdom of Israel? This is in the nation of Babylon. And it is being made known to the king that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and get this, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Amazing thing that these areas of leadership and governance are God-appointed positions. Unless we construct a constitution and make it our own. Phooey. The governance of the world, no matter how we write this constitution, is yet under God. Whether we call him an emperor, or a president, or a Kaiser. I love this next verse. We're going back now to verse 17 of Daniel 4. "This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know." You know, before we read that God was addressing himself to Nebuchadnezzar, that Nebuchadnezzar might know. But he's here saying that all the living may know that the Most High ruleth over the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the wisest and strongest and best. Did you open your Bibles? Setteth up over it the basest of men. Are you worried about this next election? Now, I want to just make a very broad historical observation. Have we not seen over the past 100 years that God has disposed godless and wicked rulers? Have we not seen that? Began in Europe with Kaiser Wilhelm. He was a self-appointed emperor from the royal family, grandson of Queen Victoria, King of Prussia, most notable for his desire to exterminate the Jews. He stood for all that was wicked and unjust, and God disposed him. What happened to Adolf Hitler? What happened to Hirohito? Did I pronounce that right? Something like that, Emperor Hirohito from Japan. God did not suffer these men to achieve their ends. Whatever else we know about history, we ought to observe that. He used the Babylonians to depose the wicked Assyrians. He used the Medes and the Persians to depose the wicked Babylonians. He used the Greeks to depose the Medes and the Persians and the Romans likewise. God has not surrendered his position, and he yet governs among men. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 is still true. Righteousness exalts a nation. But sin destroys them. These are timeless realities. Now, I've said all of this to bring us to 2 Samuel chapter 23. Second Samuel 23 are the last words of David. And here in these first 7 verses, it's just packed with riches of truth. We don't have time to look at all of that. It is accepted by most commentators that these were probably David's words to his son Solomon as he took the throne. And notice how it is couched. Verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel said. So we have the man appointed by God, who was raised up by God. He is saying this. Secondly, verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. We have in this the inspired word of God through David. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. And now, lest we have not gotten this clearly, notice verse 3. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake unto me, he that ruleth over man, men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Every ruler in every nation, in every land, comes under that obligation. Whether they admit it, acknowledge it or not, they will give answer to God. For they are to rule with justice and in the fear of God. I want to add to that, I guess, the last words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I have a quote here from Benjamin Franklin. It's one of my favorites of the things that he has said. During the Continental Congress, they had come to an impasse. They were trying to weld together everything that they thought was good and proper about governments and how our nation could be properly governed. And they had just come to disagreements and impasses that had just held them for days without any progress. And Benjamin Franklin, who's not known for being a godly man, stood and said this to the chairman of their group. I have lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And then he quotes the scripture. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? It is undeniable that our forefathers believed that God governs in the affairs of men. And he must be considered in all of those matters. This Memorial Day, I think we need to sit down and relax and understand. My country, 'tis of thee. And thank God for that and pray for its preservation. As we pass through this election year, we must pray for God's abundant mercy and grace and plead His wisdom to learn how we as children, as His children, interface with a world of Caesar and God. It was our Savior who said, render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. We have begun to think that somehow over here in Caesar's government, it can be ruled and judged and cared for apart from God, secularly. And our lives and our homes and our churches are something very different from that. Pastor Weber clearly described the three institutions of God, the home, the church, and the government. But God is not to be divorced from any of those. How do we do that? Well, we plead for His wisdom to learn how we as His children interface with a world of Caesar and God's. We have bought into a foolish idea of secularism. And please understand something our professors often told us in college. There will be a test. God is coming again. And everyone will give an account. What a wonderful nation we have. And let me encourage you in these crazy, crazy times, and I think they're crazier than they've ever been. And I'm preaching to myself. Don't become cynical. Don't divorce yourself from the whole proceedings as a pox on everybody. This world needs you as God's children more than it's ever needed you. You need to learn how to interface and act in this world as the children of God. We won't do it by glib quotes of sound bites and acting like our foolish and godless politicians. We need to learn how to be the people of God in this blessed nation that He has given to us. Everything you learn, please share with me. I'll try to share what I learned with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of being in America today. We see things just, in our estimation, going awry. May we never forget that it is you who yet rules in the affairs of men. We trust not in our leaders. We trust in our God. And may we be such a people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.